Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company here on a Wednesday. Big day. Barry Odom Radio Show follows us over at Parkway Tavern on 215 in Flamingo. We'll give you details about the show coming up at 6 o'clock. Willie Ramirez is the company today as we have much to get to. NFL season right around the corner. Lots of Raiders takes in the 5 o'clock hour. Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii, Rosh in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But we're loaded before that. What's going on, man?
What's happening? I'm good. I'm pumped up for today's show for some reason. I'm not sure if I'm prepared as much as I should be, just because I've gotten myself set up for so many different things this football season.
Let's go.
And I looked up, I was like, damn, I got to prepare the topics. I got to prepare for this. I got a freelance story. I got that, this, and the other. Plus, I had to get my lift in, of course.
Always
got to
get the lift.
I had to get the lift in. And so, yeah, here we are.
So I mentioned the Barry Odom Radio Show, and energy's real high right now. Nice win on the road against a Big 12 team, a Power 4 team in Houston. And, you know, there were a lot of honors before the season for UNLV across the board. But the guys who were most honored were linebacker Jackson Woodard, wide receiver Ricky White, and return specialist wide receiver Jacob DeJesus. Mm-hmm. Woodard had a monster game. The defense really put up some gaudy numbers. And the players of the week in the Walter Camp this week were wide receiver McMillan, who had over 300 yards for Arizona. On defense, it was Jackson Woodard for the entire country. That's nice.
We were talking about that in the press box the day of the USC-LSU game, several of us, and it had come up that he better be named Mountain West Conference Player of the Week. And then somebody said, what about national? And there was just a lot of doubt, not because of him or his performance, but more so on it's UNLV. And, you know, the respect or lack thereof that it gets, and that if there was anybody close to those numbers that could possibly get it, they would favor those players over UNLV. But you know what? They came out and made a statement. They made a statement against a team that isn't going to be very good, but considering this program and its past, it's a statement.
They don't win a lot of games historically on the road against FBS teams. So that shutout, I think, was going to be the first FBS road shutout.
Yeah.
I think since 83, and that would make it the second in the history of the program.
Yeah,
too.
So it's a Tony Knapp coach team.
They came up short at the end with a touchdown, about whatever it was, a minute and 5 seconds left. So much more on this, and Jackson Woodard and the high achievers on the UNLV football program. And they have a game this weekend, home opener. You can get tickets for as a there's a four-pack for $56 that you can take advantage of at the Al. It's all lower-level seats, so grab your tickets. Grab your tickets. We're looking for a really big crowd for the home opener, UNLVtickets.com. Speaking of big winners, the Aces are starting to go in the right direction. Yesterday, the Sky came into town with Angel Reese, and things feel a little bit better? A little better after this one?
No.
Momentum? Good momentum?
I don't know about after this one, because the Sky were here before the Olympic break and handed the Aces a loss as they sent them into the All-Star and Olympic breaks with a loss. Kennedy Carter had a season high that night. Kennedy Carter is still in Chicago. Kennedy Carter has been in the was in the hospital. I mean, she was actually getting treated and, with COVID watch. I mean, she was seen. They posted videos of her, just, hey, get well wishes. But it was a lot more serious than people decided to joke about when it comes to COVID. Not to make that a whole other topic, but the fact remains is whatever the severity of her case was, it was pretty high. So that being said, they were without their top scorer. You know, yes, Angel Reese is the story and she's their top rookie. But you know what? When the Indiana Fever are without Kelsey Mitchell, they're without their leader. Not their star, but their leader. And with the Chicago Sky case, they were without their scorer, their top scorer in Kennedy Carter. So is it a big win? Absolutely, in general, because the Aces need wins to stay in the top four and get home court advantage. But more importantly, by the way, they need to go 7-0 down the stretch, so I don't owe you a second meal. Yes. But I'm up against it.
Yeah, right now you have the push. So out of the break.
But I went on a push. You yes. said that.
You called. You have the push.
Yeah.
They were 16-8 at the break. I told you, hey, set a win total. You set it at 28-12. I gave you 28-12 and over.
Yeah.
They have 12 losses, so one more loss, and I am in on that one. Listen, they're playing about how I thought they would. I don't know if they can go unbeaten the rest of the way. I know this game was a big one because they hit the trail now, right? They're going to be gone for a little while, aren't they?
Is it several?
Yes. Good. Ready? Friday at Sun.
Oh my God.
Sunday at Liberty.
Oh,
Wednesday at Fever. Friday at Fever.
That's the gauntlet.
Sun, Liberty, two Caitlins. You're going to go 4-0. If you get out of that 4-0, you got life.
And here's the thing.
Come on, Aces, beat me.
Not last night, not the road game, but the previous home game, which is against Atlanta. Becky was asked, at this point, what are you prioritizing? Winning or rest? And she said the two players that she is most concerned with getting rest down the stretch, they're in the playoffs. The two players she wants rest is Asia and KP. She rested KP last night. Jackie Young was out previously, and that was more than rest. It was listed on the injury report as rest. She's been nursing a back injury. And Becky finally came out and said it, that that's why she played limited the second half, the last game. But she has been nursing that back injury. Now we know why she wasn't playing as good as she was, getting a lot of bounce out of her jump shot. Maybe wasn't as athletic as she normally is, and able to move to the ball, get to her spots. But the fact of the matter is, Paris beat them up. And it's they can't use it as an excuse, but the fact of the matter is, that's where they're at. Six Olympians on that team. Four from USA, one from the three-on-three team, Azerbaijan, and Spain. They're feeling the effects of it. So they're coming out of it, but this four-game trip is tough.
I mean, if we could have recorded Willie today and played it for him 7 weeks ago, basically my take.
Basically. I know, you're the only one that said that.
I am the only person in the country who says a lot of things.
Yes.
I told everyone on the ground here in September of 96.
About the Aces?
No. Oh. Well, actually, yes, I did say that WNBA that just started up. Yeah. There will be a team here. The Raiders will be here, and I said the A's would be coming. I picked the year.
Knights.
I actually said 2028, and I was like, hockey? This is 1996 in September. I'll pull the audio. Yeah. I was like, they will win a Stanley Cup. I'm pretty good. Straighten me out on the playoff seedings. Is it a straight 1-8, or do they care about the divisions? Do you know?
No division, no conference.
Okay. So, if they're the four, does it matter to have to go to Seattle maybe an extra game? I don't want to go to Seattle a bunch of times if I'm the Aces.
It matters.
I don't want to finish fifth.
No, but it matters in front of that energy at Climate Pledge, and it matters when you're playing now a very experienced team.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. So the four is something to fight for, so they're not on the wrong side.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because you're talking about Nneka Ogumike, you're talking about Skylar Diggins-Smith, you're talking about Jewel Lloyd. You're talking about a very experienced bunch with a very good coach with a championship pedigree. So you do not want to. And, you know, I here's the thing. There are three games back in Minnesota for the three. Any other team, I would say maybe, but Minnesota with Cheryl Reeve, they're tied for second with Connecticut. They're going to want that too. I mean, you know what I think is Connecticut or Minnesota does not want to be the three. You know why? They'll play Indiana. Nobody wants Indiana.
Hello.
Why would you want to face Kelce Mitchell, Lexi Hull, Nalissa Smith?
Don't try to name everyone else on the team. Don't ignore the 19-point tennis.
You know what I was doing? I was swooping in. You like how I did that?
Avoidance.
I was swooping in.
We got so many cool shows coming up on the road, not just Cofield and Company, but what we have going on during the weekend. We're going to talk to John Murray from the Superbook in less than 6 minutes. And want to remind everyone, we do that Sunday show. This year, it's JVT Sunday Football Preview Show. 8A to 9A show. He'll be giving away prizes after that. John Von Tobel has the final injury updates, line moves right before kickoff. And John Murray, the sharpest bookmaker, it's been proven, in the country, will join JVT during the hour. And then, of course, you can go watch the games in the book or go to Football Central. The screens in there are fantastic. Smoke-free theater, about as comfy as it gets around Las Vegas. It's the Westgate. It's JVT's Sunday Football Preview Show, 8 o'clock. in the morning. Yes, he's up early. He's a morning riser at the Westgate.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It was caught at the 4-yard line. Coach Prime of the Buffaloes start 2024 with a 31-26 victory, hard-fought victory over a very good North Dakota State team. But the Buffs are 1-0 heading to Lincoln, Nebraska next Saturday, September 7th.
Well, all right. Yeah.
Colorado Buff Radio Network. Mark Johnson on the call there. Colorado flying high. Boy, my 2-7 start prediction's in trouble. That's why I'm a square. John Murray's in, director of race and sports at the Westgate, the Superbook. Got big things coming up this weekend and throughout the season, but this is a vital time right now, my friend. Vital time. Willie here, Cofield. What's going on, buddy?
There's a lot going on, guys. How are you guys doing? What are you guys looking forward to this weekend?
I already know what you're looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to the NFL. You're looking forward to soccer.
No, that's false. The English Premier League is off this week.
Oh.
So, you know, there's really nothing for me to watch in the sports world this weekend, gentlemen.
So normally I would have
really
been right.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Normally I would have been right, though.
Yes, yeah, definitely would have been right. Now, we're excited. We're going to deal the NFL games on Thursday and Friday night at -105, guys.
Wow.
So we're very excited about that. The first Friday night game, the big game tomorrow night, the Ravens and the Chiefs. And we're going to book NFL sides at -108 all season long, college football sides at -109 all season long. So I don't know how anybody could not play college and pro football bets at the Westgate Superbook. With a deal like that, Steve, you mentioned you're a square. You could be saving 1 cent on every college football bet you make over here, my friend.
I need it, man.
And you know what? We are running out of time. It is 3:20 on a Wednesday, NFL Eve. And before we go any further, deadline for the Super Contest coming up. I know that you extended past the Thursday game up until Week 1 Sunday kickoff. So let's get that out of the way and get that pitch going, because that is what we need people to get down there for today.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, we take signups until Saturday at 3 p.m., guys. But I don't think you'd want to come in here on Saturday. You know, get it done now. Get your contest signed up tonight, tomorrow night. I don't think you want to push it off till the last minute. But we will take Super Contest signups until 3 p.m. on Saturday. I was just out there a few minutes ago. It looks like we're around 925 entries in the Super Contest right now, and 60 and change in the Super Contest gold. Super Contest Gold, $5,000 buy-in, winner take all.
John Murray's with us from the Westgate. So you mentioned the deadline, 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's not just a season-ending prize deal, though. You can win money throughout the season. So can you kind of break it down for people who haven't signed up yet?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do 11 in-season contests. So you've got your 6 3-week contests, 3 6-week contests, and then you got the 2 9-week halves of the season contests. So if you get off to a bad start, you know, don't despair. You know what I mean? You got to keep plugging along. Week 4, we'll start a new contest. Week 7, we'll start 2 new contests. So there's a lot of opportunities to win. For $1,000, you're buying yourself into 12 football contests. A lot of chances to make money.
I've been pitching it this way, this Sunday morning show, because we're back to some real goodness here with JVT. It's JVT Sunday Football Preview Show. John Murray, the sharpest bookmaker in the country, will join JVT in the second half of the show. Is that accurate on the sharpness?
Yeah, well, I think I actually came up with that title myself.
Thanks for writing
that. I was testing it in the media.
Yeah.
Like, I started calling myself that, waiting to see what kind of pushback I got.
There's no pushback. So. Here's the thing. Again, tell everyone last year the amazing run you had out of the gates. Now, of course, once you lost, you got crapped on. But what was it? Was it 13 or 14 weeks?
No. I did our mutual friend Sammy Paniatovich. Yes. He and I did a show every Friday morning. I started the year 10-0, Steve.
10-0,
and then I had Kansas City -2.5 against the Eagles on Monday night at Arrowhead, which is certainly a pick I'd make again. But they blew it. They had a big lead in the second half, and they lost the game. Sam and I are gonna tape that show again this Friday morning. So that'll be a thing again. But no, there's some very sharp minds in this industry. I certainly wouldn't want to put myself up with some of these other people.
Yes, you would. You got on a good run. And the funny thing is, you are not that you don't like pro football, but you bang on it for some of its flaws. That said, it is a great thing to watch. Football Central is dynamite. What's the setup this year with the theater? And I'm sure you guys are going to have awesome specials again.
Yeah, football is the best TV sport, guys. And there's no doubt that the best place to go to watch 8, 9, 10 games at once is a Las Vegas sportsbook or a theater at a Las Vegas casino like the International Theater. And we're going to be doing Football Central every Sunday, like we always have. We got betting windows over there, food and beverage specials. We're going to open the doors at 9 a.m. on Sunday, right after I get off the radio with the aforementioned Jonathan Von Tobin.
Sign up for it. It's the 34th annual Super Contest down at the Westgate. John Murray's up on Cofield and Company. Well, when you come on, I do want to pick your brain on the NFL and see what the Sharps are doing. So let's go right to the big boy games at the beginning of the week. What are we seeing here? Late action, sharp action. What was it like this summer with Chiefs and Ravens?
I'd have to say the sharp guy's definitely on Kansas City. When this line was Kansas City -2.5, -110. Right now we've got Kansas City -3, +104 on the juice because we're running our 8-cent promotion. It'll be a 8 cents each way promotion. It'll be a 5-cent each way promotion tomorrow, game day. Right now it's 8 cents. We got -3, +104. But the sharp guys played the Chiefs at 2.5. Been a bit of a rocky offseason for Baltimore. We've seen people betting their win total under. It's not a surprise that the public and the sharps are on Kansas City for tomorrow night's big game.
John, a couple lines that moved and I'm interested in. Are they sharp? Are they public? One, Minnesota looks like went from +1 to -1, and then Houston's getting some action, -1.5 up to 3. Of course, the hype around that offense, the rebuilt offense, the building and strengthening offense that includes, of course, Las Vegas and Brevin Jordan. Can you talk about those two games?
How bad are the Giants going to be this year if they're a dog at home against Minnesota with Sam Darnold at quarterback? What is that line?
Yeah, that's my game of the week. That's my game of the week. I'm taking the Giants.
Game of the week. I can't believe. I wouldn't say that we've seen sharp money on that on the Vikings. I mean, just most of the tickets are on Minnesota. But now the other game you talked about, this could potentially be the most one lopsided one way action public game of Week 1 in the NFL. Talking about the Houston Texans, so very wide ticket count splits. All the money's on Houston. Right now we're at Houston, -2.5, -120. They're a really trendy team, and I get it. I mean, they won the division last year. They had the playoff win. C.J. Stroud looks like he's certainly the real deal. Very public side. We're going to be rooting for the Colts on Sunday morning. And I don't even think we're going to watch the Vikings-Giants game, Steve. I don't know about that one.
That's the most contrarian pick you can get because everyone hates the Giants. They think they look terrible on Hard Knocks. So, of course, I have to go contrarian and just prove a point and lose, of course.
They'll win outright.
What would you do in these Survivor-like contests? We're going to bandy this about all day long. I'm actually not in one, but my girlfriend is. The significant other is. And I'm an idiot, so I'm trying to talk her off the Bengals and Patriots. Am I making a mistake there? Is that such an easy game? Like, are there sharps who are firing on the Patriots plus?
Well, it's the question is really, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to serve, or what is she trying to do, rather? Is she trying to go deep into the contest, or is she trying to win the contest? Because people would argue that if you're playing to win, there's no way you'd play the Bengals. You would play somebody else, and you would hope that the Bengals lose. Because what, 60-70% of the people are going to be on the Bengals.
Yeah.
But if you're just trying to get your money's worth for the contest, have some fun, and make a run through this contest, the Bengals are -420 on the money line. They are the biggest favorite of the week here in Week 1. Yeah. And if you look at their schedule, this is probably going to be the best time to play the Bengals. Look, they're a very tough division. They've got a quarterback who has missed twice, has been out for the year with an injury. I'm just saying, you don't know what this team might look like in the second half of the season. So, yeah, I don't know that I could fault you for playing the Bengals. But if you're playing to win, Steve, you got to go somewhere else. You got to hope the Bengals lose, you win, and maybe you just knocked out two-thirds of the field.
Keep in mind, there's only 25 people in her contest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You should have led with that.
I know. No, I'm kidding. Your advice was good.
It depends on the sharpness of the group you're in.
But I can't
really say I'd blame anybody for using the Bengals and just trying to move on, trying to survive in advance. It's only week one. Maybe that kind of strategy that we're talking about is something you'd implement later in the season.
Last one. We got about a minute left. John Murray's with us from the Westgate. Get in the Super Contest, 34th annual Super Contest, 11 ways to win. Sign-ups by – don't go Saturday. Go today, go tomorrow, go Friday. Saturday deadline, 3 o'clock. Last one, a little hometown feel here. What are the sharps telling us? What are the bettors telling us on Chargers 3 against the Raiders?
Well, you know, whenever the Chargers are a home favorite, they bet against them.
Yeah.
They always – whenever the Chargers are laying points at home, whether it was in San Diego or now, they bet against them. There was some sharp money on the Raiders at +3.5, -108. We're down to +3. Interesting game. You guys, I'm a huge Jim Harbaugh fan. Well, we'll see what that game looks like. But for now, the sharp guys are on Las Vegas, the Raiders, Sunday.
You see, you were really enunciating there with Harbaugh.
I love Jim Harbaugh, man. I love Jim. I think Jim Harbaugh is hilarious. And I hope he's a big success in the NFL. Love the Harbaughs.
Last one, you should have heard your boy Adam Hill yesterday telling us in the Texas-Michigan game that Michigan absolutely sucks. They're terrible. Okay, Adam.
Yeah. I don't know about sucks.
Yeah.
Adam's had some questionable takes on your show, my friend. I mean, some of the stuff he said about Caitlin Clark is looking pretty silly.
Yeah.
I just saw today that she was named WNBA Player of the Month. I don't know much about the WNBA, but I think Caitlin Clark is pretty good, Steve. I don't know. Maybe I have that wrong.
We made an executive decision about 6 weeks ago. Any day Adam's on, that got nixed from the rundown. So he set his path, and now he's going to have to pay for it, although he'll find a way to reverse it, some word salad nonsense. John, we appreciate it. We'll see you out there on Sunday, man.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. John Murray, Westgate. Super Contest, Superbook, Football Central in the International Theater. Get in now. It's a great contest. And, of course, JVT will be back with the JVT Sunday Football Preview Show right here on ESPN Las Vegas at 8 a.m. on Sundays.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company rolling on first hour of the show. We got Caleb Herring checking in a couple minutes. UNLV football analyst, played for the Rebels, also really good on the NFL. And he kind of knows eating. We got our broadcaster Bites podcast. We'll talk to him about his trip to H-Town and his reaction. You can find us all over social media. We're trying to up the game. Griffin has done a good job of leading the way. You can find a post, as we call it, every day on Instagram, ESPN Las Vegas. Follow us there. And then Willie's. We're big on IG now. Willie G. Ramirez on IG. The next frontier, Twitter, Facebook, IG, TikTok.
TikTok.
YouTube Shorts. But you're the leader in the clubhouse right now with TikTok. And are you going to start doing more live videos?
I am. I was on TikTok. And you know what?
We need our Willie all the time.
I see the little red thing says live, and you start jumping in these rooms, and they're just conversating. And then I caught up with these battles, TikTok battles. So they're side-by-side screens, and if you jump, it depends on whose room you jump in. What I marveled at and learned over the last week is that they're like the coach, and they're hosting this, and they're managing so many different things. More than anything, they're motivating you to stay in there, buy coins. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. When you hear about these gamers, I didn't know really. I'm thinking, I'm always picturing with the remote control and playing the video games, right? The Madden and this and that. These people, they got me hooked on just watching them, and they got you so hyped up, Griff, that I'm buying coins because I want to be a part of it to learn a little bit more, because I ended up doing a couple of live sports talk segments, and I went live the other day from the USC-LSU game, and I'm just – one of the followers, one of the guys, the Mac, he's like a teammate in this room hosted by Maddie, who has this incredible vibe. And he's like, dude, you got 15,000 followers. You should be going on. I guarantee you'll get, like, in a heartbeat, you'll get 50, 60, 70 people in your room. First day I did it, I mounted it in the car. Didn't know that was a no-no. They banned me for 24 hours. But sure enough, there was, like, by the time they send you the stats, there was, like, 400 viewers.
Nice. Look at you. So you're gonna have 40,000.
But I gotta give some shout outs real quick to these people because Steve, I'm telling you,
what's going on here? We're doing shout outs.
Oh yeah,
Rando's on TikTok.
Are these
gonna become my friends?
Yes.
Okay.
They're gonna help us promote our stuff. Yeah. Because like in the morning, there's these two young ladies, Gabby and Lexi. They're on every morning. They call it Toxic Battles. And you can't. They got to get certain amount of points before they can talk.
TikTok.
Gabby has this incredible personality and vibe in the morning. I've now found myself putting it on just for 5 or 10 minutes to get motivated to get behind the laptop at 5:30 in the morning to start typing. There's another Gabby. She's a college student from Boston. She loves Las Vegas. Her mom's all in on the team. Kid named Keith Karp. He's a bodybuilding college student. So you know. I was giving him the hype on the perfect gym in Jordan. He's already looked it up. He was looking it up during a battle. Like I said, Maddie and Mari.
Griffin, get ready.
These two girls
got a whole ESPN Las Vegas demand is now on TikTok.
Now, wait a minute. And then finally, there's this girl from the East Coast, Gigi, who has this Brooklyn Jersey type attitude. She's got the costumes. She comes on with the lion mane, and she battles these people.
You love this.
Dude, I'm all in.
There's a lot of talented
people
out there.
I am all in. You know why I got
to
give them?
They don't need to be with schnooks like us.
Here's why I
got to
give them clout and shout-outs is because, like I said, you're in the room. They got to manage all these things. Their team members, the coaching, and you know what? TikTok's making money off them. They're making – and they're getting it done.
The audience conduit to TikTok is your account. So where do they find you?
Willie G. Ramirez, but with two Z's, because I didn't realize I made an account a long time ago with one.
Right.
The one that's active has two Z's. I'm going to start. So I'm live right now on TikTok. I'm doing my ESPN. ESPN. I'm live on TikTok.
So this was not approved by the bosses of Cofield & Company. So essentially, every break, Griffin just starts shredding everyone here behind the scenes.
Yes.
And I was like, Griffin, we're live at Willie G. Ramirez with two Z's.
Former UNLV quarterback and current voice of the Rebels, Caleb Herring, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Well, let's bring in Caleb Herring here on this Wednesday, as he's about less than 90 minutes away from hosting the Barry Odom radio show. We'll tell you more about that in a couple minutes. Caleb, let's get right into it. Hard Knocks, wrapping things up. What'd you think? What hit you?
I got to be honest, the totality of the episode was not as hard-hitting as I've had in the past with Hard Knocks cut days. There was the one where you get the GM or get the emotional reaction to having to cut somebody. But I was thrown off completely by the scene and whatever emotion it was trying to convey by the fact that he walked into the GM's office barefoot. That just completely threw me off. But cut day is always tough. You like to see the stories of the guys. I think they've focused more in recent years on the guys who bounce back or, get signed immediately after to the Vikings or wherever they go, which is cool to see and how fast it happens. And then obviously the guys making it back to practice squad. But I think they teased the Bears season really well at the end of that Hard Knocks and the way it closed out with Caleb Williams kind of doing his pregame pep talk to himself. Getting ready for week one. It was great. It was a great series. It was a great season of Hard Knocks. I think the hard-hitting emotional moment happened in the previous episode. So cut day wasn't as dramatic as it usually is.
So, Caleb, let me ask you this. Being a former football player, when you watch something like that, we're watching it, right? We're seeing how they're building things up and getting you ready for the season, like you said. But for you, are there nuances of certain aspects of the scenery from week one to the final week, the final episode? Are there certain things you're seeing that you're buying into, the hype behind the Bears, certain things that we may not notice as fans as opposed to a football player?
I think the thing that stands out to me the most that shows the makings of a good team is the communication, the way that teams are able to communicate amongst each other, whether it's the quarterback to the position groups, the receivers or whatnot. The feedback that they give back, the conversation that happens there. I think when you looked at the features with Keenan Allen and the way he talked to the rookie receivers and the way Caleb Williams and he engaged, I think the chemistry that they've established in a short time is pretty impressive. And I think, a lot of people are talking about the running backs coach and how, he's kind of crazy out on the field, but those kind of things are energizers. And I think even something like keeping Austin Reed in the quarterback room, whether even though he's on the practice squad, his disposition, Eberflus said, he has a really good disposition that's good for locker room. The ability to joke and lighten up the room the way he did with that huddle when he talked to the guys about, you know, they're going to talk about the 2024 preseason Bears. That kind of thing is really good coming from a backup quarterback to keep kind of levity in the locker room. But I think they have the makings of a good team. And you see the plan unfolding, what they put together as far as the draft and bringing in so many pieces this year. They're in win-now mode, and I think the way the locker room has gelled so far kind of makes you feel that as a player. It's like that feels like a good locker room to be a part of, and I'm excited to see how the season plays out for them.
Did you always like to have sort of a hype guy, whether it was a coach or whoever, on the sideline to get you fired up? Because I feel like that's the one thing the Bears might be missing. You're right, Chad Morton is an absolute lunatic, should be in a straitjacket. But Eberflus is kind of laid back. What if they went sort of like Big Dom route that they have with the Eagles, and they brought in Bajan's dad to sort of protect Eberflus, but really it's a cover for he's just going to yell at everyone to get him fired up. The arm wrestling guy. Let's go.
I think they could do something like that. I think you do want to have a hype guy. There's kind of a designated guy that you expect to do it every week. And he doesn't have to be a starter or somebody important. He's just a guy that gets you hype, gets his juices going. Eberflus is not that guy. He's kind of awkward to me, honestly.
We labeled him last week. It was very controversial. Justin Watkins, who's coming up in a little bit, called him a country club guy, and Adam said that was the worst thing you could ever call anyone.
I agree that it is an insult in today's America. But
yes.
Yeah, so, and then, I mean, the last episode didn't do any favors, him walking around his estate, taking a stroll with his wife to his random beehive. Who does that? These are things that are stacking up against him that just make him an odd person to me. But I don't see him being the hype guy. So you do have to find it. You have to find somebody that brings the juice, that brings the energy. It's usually a lineman that gets it fired up. You hate for it to be you as a quarterback that has to get your juices going. I know I've had teams where I had to do that, or at times, I should say, when I had to like be more vocal and try to get guys fired up pregame. I don't like to be that person. So it's a lot better when somebody else is that. And I've had guys, my strength coach, when I first got to UNLV, Greco, he was a nut job. Like, he was crazy about that stuff. And he would get everybody fired up before the games. You didn't have to worry about it. He'd get your juices flowing. But, yeah, I think the Bears, I didn't see it, at least, on display. Everybody was kind of cool and kind of chill vibes, which is cool. But I didn't see anybody that brought that fire.
Caleb Herring is with us. Remember, tonight he hosts the Barry Odom Radio Show. It's coming up right here at 6 o'clock, ESPN Las Vegas. Flamingo 215 is where you can watch it live. That's the Parkway Tavern. Fantastic turnout last week. About 600-plus people. Drink specials like $2 on the Miller Lite. So coming out, watch the show live. Might have some coaches, maybe even some players on the scene. Can't promise anything. But Barry Odom Radio Show is coming up over at Parkway Tavern at 6 o'clock. I want to get to a little college football before we get to the Rebels specifically. Boy, I have a feeling I'm going to be on the wrong side of this one.
Uh-oh.
Kirk Herbstreit and his dog in the booth.
I'm not into animals in public places. All right. I don't get with it. I get, you know, support animals, all that stuff. There's time and place.
And
I'm not going with that. I'll save the awls for later. You're at work. That's the way I look at it. I get it. You're at the pinnacle of broadcasting. But have some decorum. It just kind of, to me, it's like, what does the dog do for anybody other than become a distraction? And I mean, yeah,
Caleb hates dogs.
It's cute.
I
love dogs. I love dogs in their place. I love dogs in their place. I don't love dogs in places that dogs aren't supposed to be. Right. I'm eating at a restaurant, right? And your dog sitting next to me. Maybe you're okay with the dog, and that's fine for you. But dogs don't come to the dinner table at my house. Like, that's not where dogs sit. They have a place for themselves. So I don't know. Dogs
at
in the broadcast table just kind of rub me the wrong way. No, not even at the the kids' table either.
Okay. Yeah. Caleb, boy, I tell you what. Unless Dabo decides to switch up his philosophy, Clemson and Clemson fans are in for a long ride here, because this dude refusing to go into the portal and adhere to the here and now, it's problematic, and we saw it in their opener.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to dominate recruiting I don't think Dabo is really dominating recruiting. I don't think you can say that in this day and age. But then when the game evolves and recruiting evolves to where you have to recruit, I think you have to change your ways. And so many coaches have seen that and understand that now. And the resistance movement was 2 or 3 years ago. And there was like a lot of guys put their stake in the ground and said, I'm not doing the transfer portal. It's terrible. Like, we're fighting NIL, da-da-da-da. It's here now. That fight's over. You're going to die on that hill. And if you're okay with that, you're okay with it. And, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain, I guess. Does that apply? I don't know. But Dabo may become the villain to Clemson and their progress into the next decade of college football. What it looks like is the transfer portal is a tool to be used. And if you're not using it, I think you're missing out and you're cheating your program, honestly, in this day and age. And you know what I really don't like about it? I don't like the application of your, religious faith and background being used as kind of your guidance for why you don't use the transfer portal. It sounds like an Amish mindset when it comes to football and recruiting. Like, that is, well, it's okay to use this new toy. Like, it's not the forbidden fruit here to use the transfer portal to help your team. And I think just doubling down on that stance is, you feel for Clemson. I think they'll be fine this year. I don't think, they lost to Georgia pretty convincingly, but I don't think they'll have too much trouble having a winning season. But I think for the future, you're going to see people leaving. And if you don't match that, the outflow with incoming transfers, you're going to be at a disadvantage every season.
Caleb Herring, former Rebel quarterback analyst on the broadcast. Great. I love that analogy. That is actually very true with the Amish reference there. Week one, college football. I mean, talk about kicking things off and getting people hyped. Any games stand out to you? Because I know I was glued with three TVs on the wall watching as much as I could.
Yes, for sure. I outside of UNLV, because I had to be there for that one. Obviously, in person, best college football experience you can get is the ones that you are at in person. But USC-LSU, obviously, finishing us off on Sunday night with a thriller. That was a fantastic game. Got a chance to see a little bit of the Vanderbilt upset, which was cool. There's always fun to see early upsets. I mean, there's games all over the place that, the feeling that college football is back is just awesome. And I think, seeing some of the games, some of the teams that were ranked in the top 10, like FSU, get knocked off, Oregon struggling against Idaho. So some of the preseason predictions being already kind of thrown into a flux, if you will. I think I will be tuned into Colorado every time they play. I have become a supreme fan of Shedeur Sanders. I think he is, if you want to watch elite quarterback play at the college level, he's the guy you need to be watching right now. And you can say what you want about Colorado. The graphic that they put up the screen on what the revenue has been generated since Deion Sanders has come to town was just mind-boggling. It was insane. But there's so much good games, and hopefully it continues this next week. I know we've got another top 10 matchup with Texas and Michigan coming up, so pretty excited about that. And we'll see. We'll see if this week can produce the same as last week. But already an exciting start to the college football season. First year of the playoffs, there's so many different reasons to be excited and so many different narratives to watch. I'm here for all of it.
UNLV with a dominant effort and a flashy effort against the Cougars of Houston. How good can this defense be?
I honestly think the sky's the limit. I think when you have the ability to stop the run and the ability to pressure without giving up much in coverage, I think that was the difference between last year's team and this year's team. When they decided to expand the playbook and get to some of their exotic pressures, they didn't have the back end coverage to match up, and they paid for it in the form of explosive plays. I think if you eliminate the explosive plays, even from last year's team, right, you take some of those explosive plays off down the stretch in the season, you're looking at a 10-11 win team. I think, San Jose State and Boise is a much more interesting game last year if you take away the explosive plays. And even Kansas was you could say the same thing in the bowl game. I think they have a really good chance to be a good defense. The strength of competition is going to improve. I think Houston has their own issues, and, that's Houston's concern. But as far as UNLV, there's the potential there to be an outstanding defense, one of the best defenses in the conference, creating turnovers, creating explosive plays, living in the backfield, 10 sacks or 6 sacks, 10 tackles for a loss was impressive, to say the least. So I'm excited. The sky's the limit. I'm taking that with a grain of salt because I understand the competition will be better and more cohesive than what Houston put out there offensively. But I think they have a really good chance to finish as one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in the conference.
Let's go 30 seconds of pop here. One more on UNLV and the way they played. I'm telling you, every game you see little things with special teams, and it shows that practicing so much on special teams pays off between the kicking, starting to get the ball to the end zone, the punts inside the 10, the return game, even just catching the freaking ball by DeJesus, and the big thing, starting field position. What an advantage for the Rebels.
Yeah, what, 20-plus yard advantage from where they started compared to their opponent. It's little things like that that make the game so much easier. You don't have to have 500 yards of total offense every game to win it. The subtle things that special teams provide. Chittenden, a freshman kicker who nailed a 40-yarder. I know he missed a short chip shot, quote-unquote chip shot, early in the game, but he had a 40-yarder that had plenty of distance on it. So you feel comfortable about the way he stepped into that one and rebounded on the road in his first game. Marshall Nichols up for the Ray Guy Award, pinning it twice inside the 10, and he really boomed it with some height and some pace to get the ball away. So that is a weapon. We saw in the Air Force game last year to finish the year how much of a weapon that can be and how necessary it is in those tight games. You might not notice it in the blowouts, but when the games are tightly contested, that field position game is outstanding. Jacob DeJesus only had really two returns, one on kickoff return and one on punt, where he actually got to try to move the ball forward. And on the opening kickoff that he got, there was some potential to house that thing. So, I mean, this week at Legion, be on the lookout for special teams to make another big impact.
30 seconds of pop here down the stretch, Caleb. Caleb Herring is with us. Broadcaster Bites podcast is out, recalling the trip to H-Town. What a standard that was set by Houston.
Houston came through. I doubted Houston. I didn't understand Houston. I didn't understand the plethora of options we had. I need to go back to really dive into them. I did not realize that there was a food truck culture that was permeating through Houston, and I was fired up by some. I mean, I'll just say this for the audience. Oxtail loaded fries. What? Are you kidding me? And we missed out on it because we had other great options, but Houston came through. I'm excited for my next trip to Houston whenever that comes.
Caleb, I will see you this evening. Caleb is the host of the Barry Odom Radio Show, 215 in Flamingo, Parkway Tavern. Parkway Tavern, 6 o'clock start. See you in a little bit.
All right, guys. See you there.
Just so you know, a couple weeks ago, I busted, almost showed off to Caleb. I was talking about the situation at home with the significant other that she is just riding me about getting the Sunday ticket, and I'm still in my protest, and she's getting more and more cranky. This Sunday for the opening weekend, I booked a pool party at someone else's house. She is melting down. She's like, I better be able to watch my blanking game and the Chargers. I'm a little bit scared. I think I'm going to have to bring like one of those U-Haul tows with me and have a bunch of TVs in there. If my friend doesn't come through with the TVs, she's like, I'm not going in the pool. I'm watching the game. It's going to be inside. I'm like, okay, let's get this right, please. I'm taking a big chance here.
You are.
This could be big trouble.
Because, yeah.